Blog Talk Radio.
A lot of us in this house tonight, we're on the potter's wheel right now. And it's not comfortable. It doesn't feel good. But we need to just take solace in the fact that even though it may not feel good right now, as long as I'm in his hands, I know that everything is going to be all right. Just touch somebody, look them in the face, and tell them, I'm in his hands.
song always sends a chill up my spine, especially in times of when I'm seeking God on a certain situation, or sometimes when things don't go the way that I expect it to go, or even when I'm just saying, Lord, thank you, it always allows me the opportunity to remember that God has his hands on me. Well, hello, hello, hello. It is Sunday, January 26th. I am your host, sanctified and set apart with a shot of the Holy Ghost. I am Pastor D. Townsend, and welcome to the Jubilee Affair Season 3, brought to you always by the HubNet Online Network. This is God's show for God's people. As always, I am joined by the good brother Hakim Nuba.
Hey, good evening, sir. How you doing?
I'm blessed, Doctor. Blessed as always. How about yourself?
I am doing well, excited, and ready to receive your message and use it to apply through the rest of this week.
Amen, amen. It's always good, Doctor, when we can get together, man, and have a live show. You know, we tried to do many things this week, but, you know, God said he wanted it to be live, so here we are, Doc.
Mm-hmm. I exactly agree, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. To you, my family and my friends, if you are in need of prayer, you can contact us on the Jubilee Affair Facebook page. You can also tweet the HubNet Online Network. But the quickest way is to call the show. That number is 646-787-1798. Again, 646-787-1798. You can press the number 1, and at the appropriate time, you'll be placed in queue, and you can speak to Brother Hakim and myself, amen. At that time, it is your time to give a word, to give a testimony, a comment, whatever it is you want to say during that time, that is your time, amen. I have to say that today I am truly excited. I am truly happy. I am truly full of joy, simply because, you know, a lot of things have happened just in this day, amen. And I just thank God for life. I thank God that my number was not called. I thank God that I have another opportunity to get things right and in order. I thank God that I have another opportunity to praise his name. I thank God that I have another opportunity to stomp my feet, to clap my hands, to shout hallelujah. You see, I'm going to give God the praise despite the fact of whatever is going on, because I thank God because he did not have to do it. He didn't have to do it. So instead of me looking at a situation, or looking at a problem, or looking at things sideways, or not looking at it at all, I'm going to give God the praise. And it is my prayer that you do the same as well. Because I always say, when you give God the praise, when you give him what he's asking for, he will in turn give you what you ask for. God only requires us to give him the praise, to give him the fellowship, to give him everything that is a part of us that he gave us, and we are to give it back to him. In our efforts of giving things back to God, he in turn blesses us with more and more. But we have to give him the praise. And start with just your everyday life. That is the biggest blessing of your day, is when you're able to wake up and see a new day. Amen. As the pastor of this network, it is my job to release the captives, to teach God's word and to stand on his promises, and to be a shoulder to those who need someone to lean on. I always like to open up my show with prayer. Again, I am a firm believer that prayer changes things. Let us go to the throne of grace. Father God, we first pause, Father, to say thank you. We pause, Father God, to say thank you, to say, Lord, how wonderful and great you are. For Father God, for seeing us from last week to this week, Father. I know a number of many great people, Father, who started out last week, Father, and didn't make it to this week. I ask you right now, Father God, that you would bless, Father God, that you would touch, Father God, that you would anoint right now. Father God, we need you now more than ever. As the world, Father, is sinking deeper and deeper, Father, into the black abyss, we ask that you would come in, Father God, and that you would raise some sunshine upon us, Father. I also ask, Father, that you would bless this network, Father God. Bless us, Father God, and take us higher, Father. I see this year, Father God, being a year, Father, of unexpected blessings. I see this year, Father God, opening up doors for this network, Father. I see, Father God, big, huge deals happening through this network, Father. Bless, Father, Brother Hakim. Bless his family. Bless his parents, Father. Bless their time together. Let Brother Hakim return to his home, Father, safe and sound, and as he left it. I ask, Father, that you will bless Michelle, Father, our leader of this network. Continue to heal her body. Continue to show her, Father God, why you are God and God alone. Open up some doors for her, Father, that no man can close. And we will forever be grateful for what you're doing, Father. Now, Father God, I ask that you will bless me. Father God, forgive me of my sins, knowingly and unknowingly. The things, Father God, that I have done to offend you, please, Father God, forgive me. The anger, Father God, that I may feel sometimes, forgive me. The situations, Father God, forgive me. For I am your servant, Father, and I only seek to do what is right by you. You know me, Father God, and you know what I'm about. So, Father God, I just thank you for blessing me, for using me. I thank you. Father God, I ask that you would hear these prayers, Father, of your servant. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As you all know, I always give opportunities for you, the listeners, to ask questions. Amen. And I have 4 questions here that was submitted to me. Amen. And I will do my best to answer them. This first question kind of threw me for a little loop, but I will answer it. Amen. It says, "Hello, Pastor D. I'm not trying to be funny, so please do not take this as such. But if God placed marijuana here on earth, why is it illegal? And why do the church frown down upon the use of it?" Well, God created every plant of the earth. He did indeed. What you have to also understand is that marijuana can be used in many different forms. It is now being used. Now we have it as medical purposes, and it helps people with their ailments and things of that nature. However, there are those that use it for other reasons. There are those that use it to get high. In my opinion, and I have, and let me say this too, I was raised in the inner city. Okay. I have seen a lot growing up. I have experienced a lot growing up. So when I speak about things like this, it's not something that's hearsay. It's not something that somebody told me, something that I just conceived, something that I know. Marijuana, in some cases, not all, but in most cases, I will even say most cases, it's a startup drug. I've seen people smoke so much marijuana that they could not get high anymore, that their body built up a tolerance to it. And thus they had to move on to something stronger in order to fulfill that need. Now, from a biblical standpoint, marijuana gets you high. When you become high, you lose focus, you lose a grip on your inner self. Just like when you get drunk, you lose a grip on yourself, which then you allow anything to come into your body. So the mere fact that it alters your mind and it changes your mind state, that is why it is frowned upon. It changes your mind state. You do things sometimes that you would not do if you were not high. People have gotten into accidents and have said, oh, I was high and I didn't know that I was even behind the car. Things have happened. Children have been killed. All of these things that transpire in the midst of it, and it's because people were high off of marijuana, sometimes other things. But you spoke about marijuana, so that's what I'm saying. Yes, it's a plant of the earth. But according to the word, we should not put anything in our bodies that will cause our minds to be altered. Because we're allowing anything, any negative, dirty spirit to come in and set up residence. So that's why it's frowned upon. And then on the other side of it, if it is the law of the land that marijuana is illegal, you must remember what Jesus said. Jesus said, render unto Caesar what is due unto Caesar. Even the Messiah had to obey the law of the land. And if Caesar had asked for tax, he had to pay tax as well. So if the law of the land says that it is illegal, then we as a church must follow what the law says. Until it becomes 100% illegal, we have to make that stance with the law of the land. If I pray that has helped you. If not, you feel free to contact me and we'll talk a little bit more, whatever I can do to help you. I'm here. Amen. Next question is, hello, Pastor D. I've been wondering for a while about this, but decided to send you a message. I am a new listener. I heard your show from a friend, but I barely know anything about you. Can you please give us a short bio? Certainly. I am Pastor D. Townsend. Dante is my first name. I am a pastor in my spiritual life as well. I pastor Fuse Memorial. Shout out to Fuse. Bless you. I've been pastoring now for 14 years. I am a part of the Christian Methodist Episcopal Church. One of my loves, one of my first loves is the church. I've been married going on 7 years, love of my life. I love God. I love food. I'm a chef also. I find myself always going above and beyond. I am a true servant to the people. I have my master's degree in leadership with an emphasis on Christian leadership. I am starting the PhD program in a month. Amen. That's pretty much my life. Outside of all of that, when I have the time, when I'm not sleep, amen, because I live a very, very busy life, when I'm not sleep or when I'm not doing my obligations for the church or my radio show, I do love to play my video games, and I do love wrestling, amen. And Brother Hakim, who is the producer of this show, and he is my main man that I run with on this show, amen. He also, him and I, we share love for wrestling and also anime and video games. So between that, when we're not talking about the show, that's what we discuss, amen. And so I am one who is a big kid at heart, but I also take care of my responsibilities. So that's a quick bio of me. And if you have any other questions, feel free to ask. Amen. The third question here, excuse me, is, hello, Pastor D. What does God think about worldly music? Well, we know that music is one of the things that connects heaven and earth. There are a few things that connect heaven and earth, but mainly we know that music does. We also know that music has a very high control on the people. We also know that the enemy, before he took that plunge, was the worship leader. The Bible calls Satan, at time Lucifer, God's only anointed cherubim. He was the only angel given the power of God to perform a specific task according to God's will. Thus the music is something that he loves. Worldly music can be an attachment of the enemy. The reason why I say that is because music can be an addiction. Worldly music can be an addiction to some people. Rap music and such can be an addiction to some people. Growing up again, in the era that I grew up in, I've seen the effects of worldly music. I've seen the effects of gangster hip-hop music. I've seen the effects of everybody hearing N.W.A. and wanting to be the dope man. In fact, I lost countless friends from them wanting to be Eazy-E and Ice Cube and N.W.A. And not knowing that these men actually did not live the life style of a gangster, but that they sat in their bed and they wrote on a pen, with their pens, and they pad the lyrics and things of that nature, and not knowing that these men had bodyguards that followed them, and not knowing that most of these men never shot a gun in their lives, but the persona of this came through the music. And so the music can cause major influence in the lives of people. Now, we are to give God the honor and the praise over everything. If the music does not give God the honor and the praise that he deserves, then it's not a sound that God wants to hear. It is not a sweet sound to his ears. Thus, I'm saying to you, what God thinks about worldly music, God does not put himself in the midst of worldly music. Worldly music suffices the world. It honors the world. It uplifts the world. It talks about things of the world. Now, I'll be the first one to tell you that I love some Isley Brothers. I'll be the first one to tell you that rap sometimes is on my playlist, amen. But at the end of the day, also, I have a lot of music that gives God the glory as well. But I'm saying to you that we have to be mindful of what we let in our bodies. We have to be mindful of what we let in, because what we let in eventually will come out. And when it comes out, it may not be what we want it to be. There are a lot of times I have seen people listen to certain music and it totally changes their whole personality. And not for the good. So God does not sit with worldly music. We're the only ones that enjoy the worldly music. So if it doesn't give God the praise, the honor that he so rightfully deserves, then he has nothing to do with it. He frowns upon it. That does not mean that you have to throw out your playlist, but you have to be mindful. I urge you to be mindful now that you know the truth. Be mindful. Amen. The fourth question and the last one for this show says, hello, Pastor D. I appreciated your show a couple of weeks ago when you spoke about changing the world and how we need to change, especially in the black community. So my question is, how can we change the world? How do we remove the stain of sin? Well, my friend, we cannot remove the stain of sin. Sin is going to always be there because we have two natures. We have a spirit and we have flesh. And our flesh is corrupted with sin. Now, because we're in a sinful nature, don't mean that we have to go around sinning. That's not what it means. We can choose not to sin. We don't have to add extra sin to our lives. But we have to always pray and ask God to forgive us because of our sinful nature. But how can we change the world? How can we pull the world out of darkness? We have to start showing more Jesus. More Jesus in our jobs, more Jesus in our houses, more Jesus in the church. Too many times we allow the workings of the world to enter the church, and then we wonder what is going on, because the church is just like the world and nobody does nothing about it. So we have to start bringing in Jesus, ushering in the Spirit, and allowing the Spirit to have its reign. If we start with ourselves, then we can change the next person. Until we do that, the world will remain the way that it is. We have to pray. We have to pray. And when we have prayed enough and we're tired of praying, we have to pray some more. Because God is just to forgive us. God is just to change our situation. God is just to fix our situation. But like the young preacher today said at the church, if you're not telling God about your situation, God is not going to fix your situation. That's just the way that it goes. So if we want change, it has to start with us. If you know in your heart that it's not right, you go to God and ask God to forgive you. And now that doesn't mean that you're not going to fall into another trap. That does not mean that the next trap is not waiting for you. That's not what it's saying. But what it is saying is that you recognize that something is not right. And you're asking God to fix it because you know He is the only one that can. So, if we want change, it has to start with us. Then we can teach it, and we all apply it to our lives. Amen. Thank you for the questions. I pray that the answers that I gave to you helped you. And I look forward to more questions from you, the listeners. I thank you for the opportunity. Amen. But I do have a word for you on this evening. This word has been on my heart for a couple weeks because it's one that I'm so very used to and one that I experience on a number of occasions in my life and even still sometimes I experience it. But for our subject today, when the enemy attacks, for scriptural purposes, I would like to use the gospel according to Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. And it reads, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. Now when Satan came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread.' But Jesus answered, 'It is written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.' Then Satan took him into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge over you in their hands, and they shall bear you up unless you dash your foot against a stone.' Jesus said to him, 'It is written again, You shall not tempt the Lord your God.' Again, Satan took him into an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glories. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.' The devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him." May God continue to bless the reading of his holy word. When I thought about this message, it brought back fond memories of what I used to do when I was younger. I used to love to get out and wrestle with my friends. Wrestling with my friends was an important part in my life. I used to love to tussle and wrestle and bustle with my friends. But it wasn't until this one day that I met this guy who was a little bit bigger than me, and at the time, you know, me being who I am, I didn't back down from anybody, so I went to wrestle him. And this big guy overpowered me and took me down to the ground. And the power that I thought I had was gone. Thus, this boy overtook me because he was stronger than me. He was stronger than me. He was bigger than me. And for all intents and purposes, because he grabbed me, he was faster than me. And when I hit the ground, I began to cry out because I had never hit the ground before. And at that moment, I vowed to never hit the ground again. I vowed that my wrestling days were over. Because in my mind, I was attacked by somebody that I could not fend off. Well, there are many times in our lives that we have people who we consider, who may consider us to be their enemies or whatever situation it may be, and we find that because an attack may happen, that we have to sometimes bow down to the attack. But I'm here to let you know right now that even this situation that came upon us in the Bible that we read about, where Jesus, after being baptized and was led into the wilderness by the Spirit, had an encounter with the tempter. He had an encounter with Satan. He actually wrestled with Satan because Satan was trying to attack him. I remember the young man that took me to the ground, he laughed, and he had a real sinister laugh when he took me down because he knew that I was weaker than him. But I go back to the scripture where Jesus, after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and he mumbled to himself that he was hungry, and at that moment that he mumbled a weakness, the tempter was there to attack him and to attack his weakness. What I'm saying is that the enemy can only attack in places that you allow your when you are weak and the enemy knows that you are weak, don't you know that is the most vulnerable spot that he will attack? And because he will attack your weak spot, typically at that time when we are hit in our weak spots, we fall down. Jesus said after 40 days and 40 nights and the completion time that he was hungry. And the enemy told him to turn the stones into bread. But Jesus told him that we don't live by bread alone. We don't live by food alone. But the word of God is life to our bodies and to our souls. You see, when the enemy attacks you, he always tries to throw up what should have been, what could have been, and what would have been if you had did something different. Oh, yeah. You see, I'm a witness to what happens when you get tired. I'm a witness to what happens when you get fed up. I'm a witness to what happens when you're ready to throw in the towel. And when you know that you've done all that you can do, and Satan comes and he tries to attack you, and yet and still you stand your ground because you know that this attack won't last forever. You see, I know Jesus knew that he had to endure, because if he could not deal with the attack of the enemy, then he could not be the one to save us of our sins. Scripture says that we will do greater works than he has done. And he told the enemy to get away from him. But when the enemy attacks you, what do you do? What do you say? How do you act? Do you fall into the temptation? Do you allow yourself to say, oh, poor me, I'm being attacked by the devil and I don't know how to get myself out of it? Well, let me tell you how you get out of it. You stick your nose in your word. You find your scriptures that will keep you above the water from drowning. And you pray for God for a life preserver. Because too many times, don't you know that when I say being attacked by the enemy, I'm not always talking about the attacks. I'm talking about, don't you know that there are times that he will put subliminal messages in your mind, and because you are weak enough to fall for those subliminal messages, that you do the work of the enemy. And in fact, you're allowing him to use you. When the enemy attacks you, you got to be smart enough to know how to fight him off. When the enemy attacks you, you got to be wise enough to know that it's only for a season. When the enemy attacks you, you got to be smart enough to know where your help coming from. And you got to be quick on the draw to put your armor on. I tell people all the time that the front side of your armor is the strongest side, but the back is the weakest side of your armor. But you don't have to worry about your back because God has your back. But when the enemy comes at you, how do you react to it? Do you sit there and endure? Or do you sit there and cower? You see, I've learned many days in my life, the enemy tries to stop me from doing what I've been called to do. And one day, I may be frustrated. And if the enemy speaks to me, and if I'm just that ignorant to listen to him and to go along with him, then I can ruin what I've worked so hard for. But you see, I know the enemy. I know what he tries to do. I know what he tries to use. Not this way. You got to be smart enough to know when an enemy is attacking you. And I'm going to take it a little further. If we don't read our word, we won't know where the enemy is coming for us. We'll just say, I'm having a bad day. I'm having, I love this term, bad luck. There's no such thing. No such thing. We put ourselves in situations because we don't listen to the voice of God. We allow the enemy to tell us anything, and we fall into it. Open up your eyes and see what's in front of you. But getting back to the scripture, amen. But Jesus, as he was up in his wilderness, the devil tried to come at him, and the devil tried to use many tactics, amen. And the devil took him up into the temple, and he took him up to the highest part of the mountain of this temple and said, throw yourself down. Now he's tempting him to throw yourself down. You are the Son of God. Throw yourself off of this pinnacle, and I just want to see what's going to happen. And if you are the Son of God like you say you are, if you are this Christian like you say you are, if you are a man of God like you say you are, I want to see what you're going to do in the midst of death. But Jesus said, it is not wise for you to tempt the Lord your God. Then he took him into the great city. But whoa, hold on, let me go back for a minute. When he threw him, when he took him up into this mountain, when he took him up onto this thing and told him to jump off, he did quote try to quote scripture out of Psalm 91. See, a lot of us missed that, amen. He quoted Psalms 91 and tried to throw scripture back at Jesus, telling Jesus that if you throw yourself off, God says that these angels will protect you and they will hold you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. That tells me right there that Satan knows the scripture. And if he knows the scripture, then he knows that his time is at an end. Oh, come on, somebody. Satan knows that he's on a losing battle. He knows that he will not be victorious. He knows that at the end of the day, that we shall reign with Christ. Now he took him into the great city and showed him all the splendors of the world and said, all this I will give to you if you bow down and worship me. You see, Satan loves to use the things of this world to attack us. Many great preachers and teachers have been attacked by the things that they see, the love of money, and self-pride. Many, many great men have been turned around, taken away from their families, pushed out in the world because of a financial goal, financial gain. Many people have turned their backs on what God has given them because they allowed the enemy to throw things in their faces because they were just too weak to deal with it. But Jesus said, get away from me, Satan, for thou understandest not the things of God. You see, what Jesus was saying was that, Satan, I don't need your riches and your glories. I don't need your splendor from this city. I don't need your pretty women, your beautiful women. I don't need your male servants. I don't need any of these things. I don't need to be politically on top. I don't need for the people to know who I am. I don't need any of this stuff because at the end of the day, as long as I serve my God will see me as the head and not the tail. And your attacks on my life will not, they will not produce no good fruit. So what I'm here to let you know is that the Bible says in Isaiah that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It's not saying that the weapon will not come upon you. It's not saying that the weapon may not even hurt you. But what it's saying is that when the weapon comes upon you, it may do some damage to you. It may do some things to your spirit, but it will not stop you so long as you know who holds your hand. Too many times, we sit back and we say, woe is me. I'm a wretch undone. I don't know why this is happening, why that's happening. But if you read your word, you will understand. The moment that you call on Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you go against the grain. And if you go against that grain, you have a marking on your head. And that marking on your head says to kill you where you stand. Satan knows your future. He knows what's going to happen in your life. He knows where you're going to be if you keep your hands in God's hands. Oh, come on, somebody. I need somebody to agree with me on this one. That if you don't keep your hands in God's hands, you will be susceptible to any attack that the enemy throws at you. And too many times it causes us to fall. It's time that we stand. It's time that we do what Jesus did and stand for the glory of God. And when the enemy tries to attack you, you send him on his way. You tell him to be gone in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I love that name, Jesus. Whether you like it or not, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. But that's what you have to do. This is what you have to do for yourself when the enemy attacks. Stand firm. Stand grounded. Be ye unmovable in your faith. And let God have his way. I'm going to stop right there, amen, because I can preach that all day. But when the enemy comes at you, you be ready for the battle. And you hold up that bloodstained banner. And by holding up that bloodstained banner, you're saying that you live with Christ. That you would die with him. But on that great day, you will rise with him. God bless you, and may God keep you. Brother Akim, do we have anybody on that may want to give a word?
Yes, I believe Brother Darius has been holding.
Amen. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair, Brother Darius.
Hey, good evening, Pastor Townsend. I want to first off saying I loved your wife's sermon from a couple weeks ago.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. I did get your message, and I did share it with her, and she told me to tell you bless you and thank you.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I won't keep you long. I was teaching in Sunday school about King Solomon, and we did the background scripture like 1 Kings 8, then 54 through 66, and Psalms 136.
Amen.
And what we talked about, obeying God's word, and there's curses for not respecting God's word.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, and I also did like the background. One of my friends gave me was Deuteronomy 28.
Okay. Amen. Amen. And you know, if we just respected God's word, things would be a whole lot different for us. The blessings that God have for us will flow naturally if we just learn how to listen to God. Amen.
Amen. And I also want to say prayers to Kobe Bryant's family.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And
that's something that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We lift up the Bryant family right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We lost a great legend, Father, to the basketball game, Father. We know, Father God, you don't make mistakes. But, Father God, we ask right now that in the midst of you not making this mistake, Father, that you would comfort this family right now, Father. That you would bless them, Father, in the loss of not only this great man, but also his daughter, Father, a young lady who had just started her life. Father God, you need to come in and you need to heal this family, Father. Bless them right now, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Darius, for always having some great insights for us, sir.
Yeah, now one more thing real quick. I will say that God needed a couple of roster spots on his basketball team in heaven, so he called Kobe and his daughter to fill in those spots, and I know they're practicing right now with them Heavenly Wings right now.
Amen. Amen. To God be the glory, sir. To God
yes.
be the glory. Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Yes, sir. Brother Akim, do we have anybody else on that may want to give a word?
Well, we have some people listening. If they just press the number one, I can put them right through. Now's your time. We just have a few moments left for the show. So let's press that number one so we can get you in.
Amen. Amen. This is your time. We're down to the last 2 minutes now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess they just wanted to sit back and enjoy the power of the word.
Amen.
And it was delivered well, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I tell you, to anybody and everybody, we all get attacked, but it's how you handle it. Handle it the way Jesus handled it, and everything will be all right. On behalf of Brother Darius, the good brother, Hakim Nuba, Sister Michelle, I am Pastor D. Townsend. You have been listening to the Jubilee Affair. We are signing off. Good night and God bless.